Well, I'd like to ask you for your prayers again this evening. We feel a real need of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bless and inspire His Word and make it alive to us. The burden that the Lord has given me tonight is about the truth and the value of it. I'd like to look at the 23rd chapter of Proverbs to begin. Spoke some last night about the battle that we're in. Battle for our souls, a battle for our spiritual lives. How the enemy is intent on destroying that which we have that's most precious to us. Scripture calls him a liar and the father of it. That he doesn't speak the truth, I've heard it said, and I believe it's true, that even when he speaks that which is true, he lies. Even whenever he takes a portion of Scripture and quotes it or would give a partial truth, the enemy in the very nature of who he is a liar. And he doesn't speak the truth, he doesn't abide in the truth, he never has. So I want us tonight to be challenged by the truth. I want to ask us what value we place on the truth. The 23rd chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. This leads me to believe when you buy something, it's not free, is it? When you buy something, there's a value that's associated with it. You're going to have to be willing to pay a price to have this item. There's a price tag on it. There's a value that's associated with the truth. Buy the truth. The exhortation to his son here and to all of us is, don't be willing to accept anything but the truth. Pay the price that's required for you to have the truth. Well, I want to consider what that means here this evening. We can talk about the truth and we speak of the truth and thank the Lord for the truth. But I want to consider tonight a little while what that means. Buy the truth and sell it not. Remember the parable in the 13th chapter of Matthew that likens the kingdom of heaven unto a treasure that's hidden in a field. When a man finds it, he goes and he sells everything that he has. Why would a man do that? Because of the value of the treasure that's in that field. Because of the estimation that he looks on that and says it's more valuable than anything else and everything else that I have. So I'm willing to go and sell all of that. I'm exchanging it. I'm selling everything that I have to obtain this one thing. This treasure, this kingdom, the treasure that's hid in a field. You know, the enemy, the father of lies, has seen to it that there is so much mistruth and lies and misinformation and deception in the world today. The exhortation for us is to buy the truth. Be willing to seek for it with everything that we have. Don't be satisfied with anything less than to know that this is truth. And then the other part of that then, whenever you have it, whenever the Lord has given us an understanding of truth and we've bought that and we've obtained that, don't sell it. Whenever the enemy would come and offer us an alternative, would offer us something in exchange for what I know to be true, don't sell it. No matter how high the price that the enemy offers us for it, buy the truth and sell it not. I've seen items before that are sold at auctions, and particularly works of art, that I thought I have no idea why anyone would pay more than $50 for that. And yet it sells for millions of dollars, and I look at it and I think I have no idea what that is. I have no idea what it's supposed to be. I think if I gave a canvas to my young son, surely he could produce something that looks better than that. But there's a value that people place on it. for whatever reason and for however they deem that to be valuable to them. You know, every one of us have a value system in our lives. Every one of us place a value on things that are important to us. And I would that the Lord would help every one of us, that the truth would be of utmost value to us. I'd like to relate an instance that happened, and it's about 100 years ago. Back up even a little further than that, and a man named Charles Darwin. The 19th century thought that he had a theory that outproved the Bible. It was a theory of evolution, of natural selection, and it started to move and shift the scientific world and society away from the idea that the Bible is the true history of mankind. And it offered an alternative that said, here's a solution. Here's an answer to the question of where we came from. You know, that question was answered long, long ago. That question is written in the first chapter of Genesis. The first and through the third chapters, whatever, that gives the account of the creation of the world. That says, in the beginning God created. But you know, there was something in men's hearts that said, that's not good enough. I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not contented with that. And so they begin to search for something that they could put in its place. Darwin put forth the theory that said we evolved from a lower, and it's so commonplace today, I know that we're familiar with it. We evolved from a lower species of animal, evolved up by natural selection to the point that we are today. In other words, that apes and creatures like that were our ancestors. And he said, as the scientific community looked at this, they put their backing behind it and said, oh yes, this is truth. This is right. This is scientific. This is something that we're convinced this is the truth. Public opinion began to shift on it. The ideas of people had questions began to be planted in their minds. How do you argue with a scientist? They've studied these kind of things and they've looked at it and they've analyzed, and they're far smarter than I am. So who am I to go and look at the first chapter of Genesis and say, I believe it because God said it? Oh, that's such a weak argument. They say, what? You're just stuck in the dark ages and you're just afraid to embrace truth when it comes to you. But the real question is, what is truth? So it was now to the instance about 100 years ago. There was a man in England that came out with a find. And he said, I found the missing link. Because the problem that scientists had had up to all throughout this time, they could say that we believe we evolved from monkeys, but what they could never say is, here's something that's half monkey and half man. And they were never able to look back in the fossils and the bones and be able to say, here's what they call the missing link. Here's the proof of it. Here's the evidence that shows that indeed there was an ape, and over time, here's what is the evidence that he was evolving into something more. And so this man around 1914, 1912, he said, I found it. I found the missing link. This is what's going to put the nail in the coffin, so to speak, of these Christians that say that it couldn't have happened and evolution isn't true. We found the truth now. We found the evidence of it now. We found a skull, and he produced and brought forth a skull that looked like it was half man and half ape. And the scientific community became so excited. They began to publish articles about it and in their scientific journals, and they said, we found it. They celebrated it. They had a big celebration honoring this man. They put a monument up in honor of this man that found the truth. In honor of a man that proved evolution to be true once and for all. And so, science banked on that. They began using that as the foundation of their truth. They began to say, now we know without a doubt that this is the case. And so now that leads us to believe this. And that leads us to believe this. But the problem was, over 40 years later, it began to come to light that it was all a hoax. This man had gone and found a skull of a man that was a recent skull. He had used chemicals to make it look like it was an old, ancient skull. He had gone and found in another place the jawbone of an ape. And he went and he stuck the two together and he presented it to the world and said, this is truth. This is the evidence that we've all been looking for. And all it was a big hoax. But do you know, so many people bought into that hoax. There were so many, it was just, in fact, if you would have been one of the ones that questioned it, no doubt you would have been laughed at. You're laughing at evidence. You're laughing in the face of science. You know why they were so willing to accept it? Because it fit what they wanted to believe. Because they looked at it and said, this is what I've wanted to believe. This is what I believe in my mind and my belief system. This has to be the truth. And so, aha, I found something that proves it. And they looked at that and it, you didn't need to question it. Because it just makes sense to me. You know, the enemy works in the same way with the souls of men. To be able to offer something that's half truth. To be able to offer something that fits what sounds good to me. That evidence was shortly followed up before it came to light as being a hoax by what was called the Nebraska Man. This time on the United States soil, it was again a cause of excitement. Now we made history as America. Now we found an American half man, half ape. They found that by a tooth that a farmer had found in his field. They looked at the tooth and they submitted this tooth to scientists and they evaluated it and they studied it and they put their science to it and they said, yep, without doubt. It's an earlier form of mankind. It was a pre-mankind form of evolution. We found it. And again, the same kind of thing all over again. We found it. This is truth. Here it is. And you know what they did with it? They took that little tooth, and from that tooth, the artist put his imagination to it, and he drew a picture of what they thought that man would have looked like. Half ape, half man. How do you take a tooth? Uncle Randy works with teeth. How do you take a tooth and draw a picture of the man that it came from? You can't do it, but whenever you have in your mind established, this is what I want to believe, this is what I want to be truth, then it leads me right to the conclusion that I wanted to make. Well, as that publication went out and science was again excited, they found another find shortly after that. In that same area, they found the rest of the teeth. The only problem is the rest of the teeth were in the jaw of a pig. And they matched it and it was the same tooth. You see how many times the wisdom of man has been made foolishness before God? But yet over and over man has put themselves in a place to say, we've proved the Bible wrong. We've proved that our way is the truth. Our way is right. Build your life on it. And there are many that built their lives upon those very things. You know why the push for evolution? Because if I can take God out of the picture, and I can say all this happened without God, there's nobody then that I'm accountable to. There's no sense that at the end of my life, I'm going to stand and give an account before some supreme God. So I work and I try, and it's still happening today. These same kind of finds are still going forth. We just don't learn, do we? We just don't learn. We go through the same cycle over and over. Oh, this time we find a bone fragment and we'll call this one Lucy. This time we'll find another one and we'll say this, we know this time it's for real. You know who I'd rather put my trust in? The one that was there. The one that was there from the very beginning that spoke it into existence. I'd far rather stake my life on His Word than on the Word of a sinful, mortal human being that says, here's the way. And years down the road, maybe He'll be proven wrong. It's happened so many times. Real truth is only found in the Word of God. Oh, the stories go on. The Neanderthal man, they drew the pictures of him. They're still published. And now they're starting to realize that it was just a man that had arthritis and rickets. And that's why he was bent over. But this has got to be it, because it fits what I want to believe. Well, I think it's important for us to understand what the Scripture calls the oppositions of science, falsely so called. But more than that, I want us to realize that this is the way the devil works. He is a liar and he is the father of it. He is the author of lies. He is the author of falsehood. You know, the enemy would love nothing more than to get us into a place that I'll believe a lie and be lost. But how do I get to that kind of place? How do I go from knowing the truth or having the truth before me to turning around to where I believe something that is a lie and I'm convinced of it and you couldn't argue me out of it? That's what we want to look at. I want to look at a scripture in the third chapter of Romans. Romans 3 in the third verse says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged." If all the scientific community, if the consensus of the world comes and says, this is what truth is. If a plurality of Christian churches should say we've now decided gay marriage is acceptable per the Word of God, does it make it so? Does it make it truth? Does the Word of man determine and override the Word of God? Lord, help us so we not be willing to build our lives on anything but the Word of God. By the truth. Seek for that. Make that the object of what I'm searching for and my quest in life. Lord, I want to know the truth. I want to build my life on the truth. I want that to be the foundation. Everything else is sinking sand. Everything else that people build the foundations of their lives and men's churches and organizations, it's built on sinking sand. What happens to sand? You get a good downpour and it washes it out and you have erosion and it begins to settle and shift. Psalms 11 in the third verse says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do?" The enemy is trying with every, could I say with every one of us, the enemy would like to destroy the foundation of our faith. The enemy would like to go and target the very foundation of what our faith is built on. Our faith in the Word of God. Our belief, my conviction that, Lord, I know this is truth. I know this way is right. I know this is what Your Word teaches. I know that Your way is right and true. No matter what the world says. No matter the consensus and no matter how small of a minority I'm in to still stand on it. Lord, I want to stand and build my life on the Word of God. I'd like to look at a story in 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. First Kings 22. Second verse, it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Will thou go with me to battle up to Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, of the word of the Lord today. Sounds like good counsel, doesn't it? We want to go do this. The counsel or the idea, the proposal is let's go up and conquer a city. Not the first time they've conquered a city or a land. Let's go up and do battle. Will you go with me? And he said, You know that I'm allied with you. You know that I support you. But before we go, let's make sure the Lord is with us. Let's make sure that the Lord is behind this and approving of it. The king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. Would you be comfortable with the consensus of 400 men? Not only men, but prophets. A prophet is one that is a professed mouthpiece of God. That I stand in the place that I tell you I am a servant of God. I hear the word of the Lord. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord witnessed to my heart. However they might say it, I can tell you that I'm here on behalf of God. 400 of these men around the throne or around the place, you know what those men knew? One, they were false prophets. They knew what the king wanted to hear. They knew that the king wanted to go up to Ramoth Gilead. So the false prophets all said with one accord, Well, that's what we're here for. We're hired by the king, so let's tell the king what he wants to hear. So all four of them, 400 of them, gave the same word. Go up. Jehoshaphat, though, wasn't satisfied with that. There was something that didn't ring true about it. And he said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we may inquire of him? You know what my prayer is in our day and age? Lord, may there still be those that says, something doesn't sound right. Something doesn't feel right. We're going along with the tide of the world. And you've given me all the arguments for why the Bible no longer teaches this. But it just doesn't sound right to me. Oh, Lord, aren't there still some like that out in the world? Aren't there still, it seems like so many are just going along with the flow. You know, I believe, yes, there are still some. And I believe as the church of God, there's opportunity for us. If we'll stand firm on the word of God and stand true, if we won't be blown back and forth by the wind, you know, it'll show to people that there's still something in our world today that doesn't just blow with the wind. There's still something solid that I can build my life on. Jehoshaphat was one of those that said, No. Isn't there still someone? I've heard all 400 of them. I know what your argument is. I know you say it's okay, but I'm not content that this is truth. And so, Ahab said there is yet one. But what did he say then? I hate him. Why? Because he doth never prophesy anything but evil against me. Well, you know what? Maybe you need to hear the evil. Maybe that's the one thing that would deliver your life and your soul. Maybe it's the mercy of this individual and God to give you the truth. You know, it's the same way in our world today. Truth is not popular. Truth is not welcome. Remember what happened to John the Baptist? He was beheaded. You remember why he was beheaded? Because he spoke the truth. Because he told Herod that that's not a lawful wife for you. It's not my word, it's not my opinion, but by the word of God, by the law of God in heaven, I'm going to speak the truth to you. I'm not going to stand before you and just pat you on the back and make you feel good about yourself. And you realize tonight a true prophet, a real minister of the gospel will not just feed us what we want to hear. will not just tell us what makes good, us feel good about ourselves. Was in a funeral down in Vanceburg just the other day and mentioned to him in the service that folks, so many times today, the preacher just preaches them right into heaven. The funeral director came to me afterwards and says, "You spoke the truth." He said, "I hear so many funeral services." And you're right. Every one of them, they just ride on into heaven. Every one of them made it into heaven. Folks, it's not the truth. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. You know, I can stand and I can give people what they want to hear. I can tell them, yes, you come down to the end of your life and you just be a good man, and I'm sure the Lord will understand, but you know it's not truth. What value do we place on truth? Herod didn't place very much, did he? Herod's wife, I guess I should say, ordered that his head be removed because of it. And so many times down throughout history, you can look at those that were willing to stand up and say, "I don't agree." Willing to say, "Oh Pope, oh priest, that's not what the Word of God teaches. And I stand on that and I won't back down from it and I won't compromise. I won't tailor it to what you want to hear. This is the truth." Why would you stand by it to the point that you lose your life? Why wouldn't you just say, "Okay, believe what you want to believe. Do like the 400 prophets. If you want to believe that, yes, you're right. That's true. I'm sure that all roads lead to heaven," and save your head. Because there's a value on truth. Because I've bought the truth and I'm not going to sell it. There's a value. My life is staked upon the truth. And so as they went, and Jehoshaphat said, "Let's go ahead and call Micaiah." You know, as they went out, you can read it here, as they went out and they fetched Micaiah, I believe his name was, they fetched him and they called him and they told them as they were on the way to the king. Now, I just want to let you know, paraphrasing it here, I just want you to know that all the other prophets have already talked to the king. And all the other prophets have told him this with one accord. So just as maybe a courtesy or as a heads up, don't dare go in there and say something contrary to that. Don't dare go in and say something that contradicts that. You know, as we heard it last night in the battle, there's so much pressure upon us. Don't dare stand up. Don't dare be one of those like the Hebrew children were that said, "I cannot bow down. I cannot. It violates. If you're bowing down, it's not going to affect what I do. I have a place that I need to stand." Do we have lines in our lives that I say, "I stand here"? Do I have an understanding, folks? The only thing that would make sense for me to take a stand like the Hebrew children took, or like John the Baptist took, is for me to be convinced this is truth. John the Baptist, before that, had sent to Jesus. "Jesus, in the way that I see that, are you really the one? Can you give me one more confirmation? I'm staking my life on this. Will you just reaffirm to me?" You know, there's nothing wrong with coming to the Lord and asking Him a question. "Lord, I need to understand this. Lord, I need to be able to know the lines that I'm drawing, that the standards that I'm building in my life, Lord, I need to know that it's where You want me to draw the lines, that it's based upon Your Word." And as I get that conviction and that understanding, and the Lord wants to reveal it to every one of us, if our hearts are honest, unlike the king here, Ahab, if our hearts are honest, "Lord, I want truth. I'm not satisfied with something that makes me feel good. I want to know the truth." That's something that we can stand on. Micaiah then shared the truth with him, but he still rejected it. Ahab still went out and he said, "I'll be back, I'll return." And the true prophet of God said, "If you do return, I've told you that you won't. I'm no prophet of God." And somehow he thought that he had so skewed his idea of what truth was. His value system of the importance that he placed on truth. He had gotten to a place that he was deceived. And do you know every one of us can get into that same place if I allow myself to entertain half-truths. If I allow myself to accept something into my life that makes me feel good or is what I want to hear, that doesn't line up with the Word of God, I'll get into a place that I believe it. And it cost Ahab his life. Sure enough, just as the Lord spoke it, because the Lord speaks but one thing, and that's truth. It came to pass exactly as the Lord had prophesied. 2 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Second Thessalonians 4. I'd like to look at I wrote that down wrong since there's not four chapters in 2 Thessalonians. Anyway, it says that they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come that men will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap unto themselves teachers. 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4 and 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Itching ears means I surround myself with those that'll tickle my ear. I try to surround myself with those, and Jesus spoke of the Pharisees. He said, you are they that receive honor of men and not of God. You're the ones that you give yourselves titles, you pat yourself on the back, you make yourself feel good about yourselves. But it's not the truth. It's not the honor that comes from the Lord only. So many, I fear, in our world today are looking for that that makes me feel good. That looks for that that makes me feel comfortable about myself. And I hear people say sometimes, I'm looking for a church that I feel comfortable with. Well, I would that we look for something more than that. I'm looking for the truth. I'm looking for a people that are willing to teach and preach the Word of God. That are willing, even when it cuts against me, even when it hurts. I'd rather hear that. You remember of the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus and he said, Master, what must I do? And Jesus quoted to him some of the things that he knew of the law. And he said, I've already done those things. But what do I still lack? He realized that there was still something more. That's not enough. I want to hear, what is it about me? And Jesus, looking on him, loved him. You know what love will do? Love will tell the truth. Love looked on this man and said, this is the only means of your salvation. I can't sugarcoat it. I can't make it less than what it is. If you want to make heaven, go and sell all that you have. Take up your cross and follow me. There's no alternative to it. There's no custom tailoring it to make it easy for you. If you want to hear the truth, I'll tell you the truth in love. Proverbs says in one place, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I want a friend like that. I want a friend. Remember the children's story of the emperor's new clothes? And the emperor that was so proud and had someone that came and peddled the idea of the finest clothes that you could ever have. And he so convinced him of that because of the pride in the king's heart, that he was willing to believe it. And he was willing to march through the streets and everybody else in unison right along with him. Well, I don't want to be the one to stand out. Who am I to say otherwise? Yes, they're beautiful clothes. And finally, one child was willing to speak up and say, but he doesn't have any on. Finally, the truth. Finally, somebody that's willing to speak the truth for what it is. Do you know, Revelation talks about the Laodiceans. You think that you're clothed. And you don't know that you're naked. You don't know your real condition. Lord, help me to see the truth. Lord, would you be a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Don't just tell me those things that make me feel good about myself. Lord, tell me those things that will help me to find eternal life. Those things that will guide me in truth and righteousness. Because though it hurts sometimes, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's life in truth. If we're willing to follow in the ways of truth, there's life in it. It gives life unto us. Remember in John, I believe, 8 and 32, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's freedom. There's deliverance in truth. There's deliverance in preaching and teaching and living and holding in my life what the truth is. That I'm not basing on anything else. Folks, the moment, the day that we begin to incorporate anything else but what the Word of God teaches, we cease to become the church of God. We begin to become the church of men. Because I'm tailoring it. I'm building it on my own rules. We don't teach for doctrine the commandments of men, but of the Word of God. It's the only safe place to draw the lines, to build the house on. This is where it is. So do I just take it from the preacher? Do I just accept it? A preacher said it, so I got to do it and I must believe it. You know what the Bereans did? If you read in Acts, it said that they were of a willing heart. They received the Word with readiness of mind. They were hungry. I want to hear the teaching. I want to hear what God requires of me. But they didn't just accept it at face value. They went home and searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things be so. You know, there need not be anything that we teach and preach and believe and hold that is not backed up by the Word of God. And I am, my personal testimony, convinced, or I wouldn't be here, that it's the case. Lord, help us that I not move away from it. That I not get into a place that I begin to accept something that's less. But do you know every one of us have the privilege of going to the Lord and saying, Lord, would you teach me? But do you know what it's going to require? It's going to require an honest heart. It's going to require a heart that says, Lord, I'm not coming to you looking for something that'll make me feel good. I'm not just looking for an easier way. Lord, I come to you willing. If this is your way, Lord, I'm willing to measure to it because I want life. I want what truth brings, eternal life. The Lord is faithful. He said that He would send His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to all those that meet the conditions and seek for it. And He said that He will guide you in all truth. You know what we see today, though? We see so much confusion. God is not the author of confusion. There are not many ways to get to heaven. There are not many doctrines that are different that the Bible teaches. There is still one way, one truth, one doctrine of Christ. So, Lord, help me to seek it in the midst of all the noise and confusion. You know, the Lord is still faithful to us in this day and time. Right in the midst of all the muddied confusion, God isn't the author of it. It's the devil that's gotten in there and tried to muddy up the waters. You know how he does it? By taking something that looks similar. By taking something that's very close, that closely resembles it, and offering that as an alternative. Maybe you've heard in recent years of a man that professed himself to be a prophet or a preacher of the gospel. And he said, the Lord's revealed something to me. The end of time will come on May 21st of whatever year it was. I know it without a doubt. This is truth. It's been revealed to me. The Scriptures bear it out. But there's one Scripture that I overlook. At that day and hour knows no man. Not even the Son of God, but the Father only that knows that day and hour. And so he put that out. There were billboards. There were people that sold their houses and everything that they owned. And They'd put stickers and decals on the side of buses and drive it into the big cities, and people were moved by it. There were some that were stirred by it, and part of me thought, thank the Lord, that there are people that are stirred by a message like this. But do you know what the enemy will do with a partial truth? Yes, the end of time is coming. Yes, it is the case. The Lord is coming to judge the sins of men's hearts and judge the wickedness of this world. It's so true that time is coming. That's truth. But if the devil can mix in with it a little bit of error, this is the day that it's going to happen on. This is the way that it's going to happen, and maybe I'll interject a rapture or something else in there. And you see how the devil will offer partial truths? And by that, he does more damage than an outright lie. Because he deceives souls. Those that looked at that and they came to May 21st and the 21st came and went. And he said, oh, I made a slight calculation error. Now it's in October 21st. And I know without a doubt now. October 21st came and went. People were gathered together in their rooms and their buildings. They had sold everything. I'm ready to go. That's a good way to be, is ready to go. But it didn't happen. Old Testament was told to the children of Israel that if there's a prophet that comes to you and says that he's a prophet, but what he prophesies doesn't come to pass, you know he's a false prophet. God was very clear, even through the prophets, that he despised those that stood in his name and said, the Lord said, and I have not spoken. But you know, Jesus warned us of the same thing in our day and time. There will be many false Christs and many false prophets that will go out and they will what? They will deceive many. There will be many. Maybe it seems like sometimes I'm just the one compared to the 400. Everyone else is saying with one accord, this is okay. Eternal security is okay. You know the damage that the enemy does with something that's not truth? You realize something that the enemy can take as a lie from his own mouth? To say that once as a child I get saved and I can go out and live any kind of sinful life that I want to live. And at the end of life, I go out and I make it. And it comes from the mouth of one that preaches from the Bible, that speaks as a minister of the gospel. Do you know the responsibility that'll be on a minister's head whenever he stands at the judgment seat of God? And I have to give account for the words that I've spoken. Do you realize people are basing their lives on things like that? They're basing their entire hope of salvation on a lie, on a falsehood. Lord, help us that we not be content with anything less than the truth. Oh, what a convenient lie that would be. I don't have to worry about the sins that I've committed. I don't have sin, you must. I like that doctrine. I don't. But I can say that I like the idea of that. I can, those things that I just can't seem to overcome. I have a preacher that tells me you really don't have to. Just love God and do the best that you can. And we don't have time tonight to go through it all. Read the 6th chapter of Romans. Read the entire tenor of the New Testament that warns to be ready. Beware lest you fall. Be faithful unto death so you can obtain the crown. You know, I'd rather hear something that tells me, Clint, there is victory for that. It might require dying out to the flesh, but the truth says, you see, there's life in it. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But oh, I fear that so many in our Christian world today are content to accept where I'm at. I believe that there are few, and I believe the Scripture bears it out, few there be that'll find that narrow way. Few there will be that really say, no, it doesn't sound right. No, I'm not stopping until I get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm not going to get into a place that I'm satisfied where I'm at. And you know, that's where it comes down to where we live. Lord, help me that I not get into a place that I get satisfied, complacent, content. Because, you know, there are some truths about me that I need to understand, that I need to know that I might not know. And the Lord wants to give an understanding of it. But you know what it's going to require? An honest and a searching heart. Lord, I come to You. I want to know the truth. I want to understand it. I don't want to just believe that I'm okay. One of my prayers often is, Lord, don't let me be deceived. Lord, don't let me get into a place that I think I'm all right and You see that I'm not. And you know, none of us have to get into that place. Scriptures, believe this one is in 2 Thessalonians. Maybe I had swapped those. Because they receive not a love for the truth. For this cause, God will give them up to a strong delusion. God will allow us to believe what we want to believe. If you read there in the story, the account of Ahab and Jehoshaphat, there was a spirit that came before the Lord, and he said, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. And he said, go. You'll prosper in what you're going to do. And that lying spirit went forth to a man that did not love the truth, that didn't want to know the truth about himself, that hated the truth. This world Jesus talks about is those that hate light. They run for the darkness. You know, light is nothing but truth. It's what gives us understanding of truth. Are we running for the light? I've heard it said before, sometimes bugs are smarter than we are because they're always headed for the light. They're always seeking the light. Lord, help us that we always seek for the truth. That I always want, Lord, I don't want to be satisfied with anything less. When the enemy comes and offers a counterfeit, when he comes and offers an alternative, a substitute, be so very careful of that. That is what I want to do. Because you know, I can take and go to the Word of God with a dishonest heart. I can come before the Lord saying, I'm going to prove that I'm okay. I'm going to prove to You that this kind of life that I'm living is okay. And you know, you'll be able to find Scripture that'll fit if you take a Scripture out and work with it in a certain way. The enemy is right there to offer us the most convincing religious argument that I could ever need. If I come and I approach it in a way that I'm not honest. And it's what's happened with so many people that have gotten into a place of deception. I want to believe this. Just like the evolutionists. I want to believe this is right. I want to believe that I'm okay in sinning and living a life that's less than what I hear preached. I want to believe that. So it's so easy for me to accept something that fits what I want to believe. Folks, it's the danger of deception. It's the danger of us being willing to accept anything less than truth. So I ask us again, what value do you put on truth? What's the price tag that you'd be willing to sell it for? How about your soul? Because that's the price. That's what's at stake. If I'm willing to accept something less than the truth, if I'm willing to approach it in a heart that's not true before the Lord, and accept something that's less than the truth of His Word, Lord, I shudder to think of what I'll face. Whenever, He said in the 7th chapter of Matthew, in that day there will be many that say, Lord, Lord, I'm calling to my Lord. I'm calling the name I've called so often. Lord, Lord, didn't we do many mighty works in Your name? And yet I get there and I didn't realize. There's a song I've heard sung, Brother Gordon and Sister Sibylla have heard sing it. I thought my name was there. I thought my name was written in the book of life. I went to church on Sunday. but I never knelt in prayer. I thought whenever I got there that I'd be okay. I thought somehow someone had convinced me that I'm okay where I'm at. Lord, I want to hear Your word. I want to hear Your approval on my life, because that's the word that I'm going to stand upon. That's what's going to judge me in that day, not the consensus of the world, not the consensus of scientists, not even those in the congregation where I worship. It's not their word, but it is the word of God. And Lord, help every one of us that be where we stand as God's people, that we would be willing to settle for nothing less than the truth. You pray for me.